Zion, 17 lines in the bottom, or in the Hebrew, the English one, 17a3. Okay, we're in the middle of a Gemara. The Gemara said before like this. When you give Hanukkah, you give severance pay to an Eved. So how much, this is what the Gemara is in the middle of now. How much Hanukkah do you give him? How much severance pay do you give him? Rav Meir says 15. Because it says, Mitzencha, Migarncha, Mikvecha. From your sheep, from your wine, and from your grain. Okay? So Rav Meir says, we learn out from a Bukhar. By a Bukhar, you have to redeem it for 5 shekels. The Torah says, Yitzoncha, Garncha, Mikvecha. So Rav Meir says, you need to give 15 shekels worth of Hanukkah. Rav Yehuda says 30. Why? Because when you kill an Eved, you have to give the master $30. So we see a clear-cut value by an Eved of 30. So over here, when the Torah speaks about an Eved, and it doesn't say how much, so Rav Yehuda says it means 30. Rav Shimon says you have to give 50 shekel. Why? And this is what the Gemara is learning out, because it says like Erechin. Okay, because if a person gives his value to the Beis HaMikdash, certain ages you have to give 50, which is the highest value of the Erechin. Because in the Chumash, it discusses male and female. What age, from this age to this age, this is how much you have to give, this age to this age. Okay. So the greatest value by Erechin, by self-value to the Beis HaMikdash, is $50. Okay, so that's what we're up to now. It says, Rav Shimon Eimer, Chamishim, you have to give 50. Chamishim Shabarachim. Like, by Erechin, the din is you give 50, you have to give 50. So the Gemara says, my time with Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon say 50? I mean, what does Erechin have to do with an Eved? We look talking about how much severance pay you have to give an Eved. What does it have to do with Erechin? I mean, like, what's the connection? So he says like this, Gama Nesina Nesina Me'erechin. He learns as Exer Shava. Here it says Nesina, by Eved, to give. And by Erechin, it says the word Nesina, giving. So he learns that Exer Shava. Here it says a word, there it says a word. And this was traditionally given over to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So he said, Ma'ala Halan Chamishim, just like a full-grown male, the value by Erechin is 50. Avkan Chamishim, the same thing with severance pay, you have to give 50 shekels. So the Gemara says, why do you give him the most Erechin? Why don't you give the Eimer B'Pachashim Erechin? Give the least of the Erechin, which is 3 Selah. A girl from the age of 0 to 5, the Torah says you have to give 5 shekel. I mean, sorry, 3 shekel. She says, why do you pick the highest number? Pick the lowest number. So the Gemara says, well, the Torah says, Asher Berachecha Hashem Elokecha. It says, Asher God blessed you. So therefore, we want to go the bigger amount, because we're talking about a bracha, not a smaller amount. So we learn it out from Erechin. So you can pick the highest amount of Erechin, which is 50, or the lowest amount, which is 3. It says you pick 50. So the Gemara says, but why do you learn out Nesina, Nesina from Erechin? There's Exer Shava from an Eved. The nail of Nesina, Nesina by an Eved. By Eved Kanani, it says the word Nesina. By severance pay, it says the word Nesina. So just like by an Eved is 30, like which was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that you have to give 30 severance pay, so Afkan Shleshim, then we should also pick 30. And the Gemara explains why. Number one, to fast mirubalei to fast, too much is no good either. In other words, like this, you can learn it out from Erechin, which means 50. You can learn it out from Eved, which is 30. So number one, it's Eved. Secondly, like we learned before, asking too much, you get nothing. So if you can learn out 50 or 30, why do, and he says, and very the second thing, Eved, may Eved have a Leila Meif. Why do you have to learn out Nesina and Nesina? From Erechin, wouldn't it make more sense to learn it out from an Eved? Eved from Eved, not Eved from Erechin. So Gemara says, you're right. Scratch that learning, we're going to change it. He says, we learn it out from Micha, Micha. Micha doesn't mean Micha. Micha, the word is Moch, for person poor. It says, by an Eved, when he sells himself, is because he's Moch, because he's poor. And, so he says like this, by one was written by seventh pay, and one was written with erchin. Also erchin. So he says, so therefore, just like over there it's 50, here it's also 50. So now the Gemara says like this, you're right, Nesina, Nesina, there's no such Gzeir Shava. And you can't make up your own. There is no such thing. What was the real Gzeir Shava? Mach, mach, or Micha, Micha, the Gemara calls it. And therefore we learn seventh pay from Erchin. Just like by Erchin of a male is 50, so this is also 50. Okay, so we have three opinions in the Gemara, before we go further. How much seventh pay do you have to give? Rav Meir says 15. Rav Yehuda says 30. And Rav Shimon says 50. Okay, this is what you have to give. So Gemara says like this. Bishleim el Rav Meir, I understand according to Rav Meir, why the Torah says Tzayin Gairan Yaakov. When the Torah speaks about seventh pay, the Torah says like this. Hanik tanik lei, give him seventh pay. Mi tzayincha, mi garncha, mi yikvecha. From your sheep, from your wine, and from your grain. So Rav Meir's opinion makes sense. Five sellers from each. So it's all together 15. But El Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they don't learn anything out from saying Ger and Yaakov. They say it's 50 and 30. Hai tzayin v'yaakov normally. Why does the Torah need to say, give him from your sheep, and from your grain, and from your wine, if you're not giving it to him anyway? Rav Meir makes sense. Rav Meir says you have to give 5 shekels of tzayin, 5 shekels of wine, 5 shekels of grain. Right. So, but according to them, it has nothing to do with sheep or grain or whatever. You have to give them $50 or $30. I mean, so what's? Why does it say these words? So he says like this: Hi, mi boile. The reason is lechadatani for another reason, and it says I would think that the Torah says you must give him seventh pay from sheep, grain, and wine only. Minayin l'rab is kol dover. How do I know I can give him anything? How do I can give him furniture, or a car, or a boat, or whatever? So it says, Asher beirachach Hashem alakech. Hashem blessed you. Meaning, there's what's called miut and ribui. First the Torah says a detail. Sheep, wine, and then the Torah says, anything God blesses you. So, it means anything. So, if so, the Gemara says, Matal Molem et Sein Gerdin Ve'yakev. So then, why does the Torah say sheep, wine, and oil, grain, if you can give him anything? Lemelach, to tell you like this. Mat Sein Ve'yigern Ve'yakev. Just like wine, grains, and sheep. She'yesh and Mechlau Bracha. They are part of a bracha, meaning they could increase. Mm-hmm. You plant a little wheat, out comes a lot of wheat. You plant a little, okay. Tzayin, reproduce. So teaches us, what are you allowed to give him? Seventh pay from, af kol sheyesh and b'chal bracha, only something which could increase. What does it exclude? Yotzik sofim money, divided up shimon. Reb Shimon says, money doesn't increase. Money is money. Sheep reproduce. Wine grows. Grain grows. Money doesn't grow. It grows on trees sometimes. But it doesn't grow.
They say money makes money.
Yeah, but it's not sitting. It doesn't
Which is very interesting, because by the way, Reb Shimon is one that says this, who says he gave him $50 shekels. But it means, according to Reb Shimon, you don't, huh? Oh, 1 second. Let's finish the Gemara. So Reb Shimon says, money doesn't increase, you cannot give him cash. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, cash you could give him. What does exclude? Mules. Mules can't reproduce. Right? So Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says like this, even, and the Gemara's going to explain right away, how does money increase? Money makes money. I'm going to say this right now. Money you put into business. But mules can't. But it says like this. Said Reb Shimon, then now the Gemara is explaining, why does Reb Shimon say money doesn't increase and mules do? Look, mules also don't increase. He said, not true. Meshabcha kubegufayu. They can increase in their own body. They can get bigger. They can get bigger and stronger. So they do increase. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, says, no, ksafim of a boy is good. Money also makes money. You put into a business, it also makes money. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says money. In other words, like this, the Baisha says, we exclude for our servants pay things that don't increase. In other words, like this, you can give anything you want. But you have to give things that increase. Okay? And where do we learn this out from? Because the Torah says sheep, grain, and wine. And then it says anything. So it has to be something similar to the sheep, grain, and wine. What is the common denominator of those three? That they increase. So it must be something that increases. So Rav Shimon says, money doesn't increase. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, mules don't increase. Money increases. So this is the argument between them.
So how does the wine increase?
You know, you take one vine planted, it grows more vines. One geffen makes many geffens.
Well, you mean geffen or the actual wine?
No, no, no. Produce from grapes.
Oh.
The grapes produce.
Grapes.
The wine
produces. Huh?
Wine increases.
How?
Wow. Age wine.
Yeah, but that's not... Yeah, but that's not something in the...
It might go sour, too. Leave it in the sun?
Yeah.
And now the Gemara is going to say like this. Why do I need all three? Tzon, Goren, and Yekef. So Gemara says like this. Tzrich, I need all three. The Ikos of Rachman is saying, if the Torah only wrote you give servants from sheep, I would think only animals could be given for servants' pay, but not things that grow. So the Torah says, no, even grain. So it says, because of Gairan, if the Torah would have written only grain, I would think the gedula karka in only things that grow from the ground could be given a servant's pay. Balechayim loy, but animals not. So therefore the Torah writes tzayin. Okay, so we need to write tzayin to tell us animals. We need to write goren to teach me that things that grow, grain. But now the question is, why do I need yekev, wine? What does that teach me? Let it say tzon and grain. Why does it say wine? It says, lemar lemutik safim. One is taken to exclude money, and one is to exclude mules. In other words, like this. If it would say only tzayin and grain, animals and grain, I would say anything that increases in any way whatsoever. That means money would be increasing because you can make business. Mules increase, they get bigger. So the Torah says the word yakef to make an exclusion that only things like animals and grain, but not money or mules. Each opinion according to their own opinion. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. It says also this, going back to still to the severance pay. Now it says like this. Tan Rabbana and the Chachamim learned, it says in the Torah, Shebirach Hashem Alekecha. It says, give the Eved the things because God blessed you. Right? So I would think that's only if it was a good Eved that brought a bracha to your house. Because the Torah says, give him severance pay from the things Hashem blessed you with. Right? So I would think, okay, if it's a good Eved,
brought you blessings,
then you have to give severance pay. How do I know a lousy Eved, you also have to give him severance pay? So that's what I was discussing now. Yochel, I would think, if the house is blessed because of the servant, then you give him servant's pay. If the house wasn't, because what does the Torah say? Give him servant's pay from what? Hashem blessed your house. Right? So then I would think, if you didn't get a bracha, you don't have to give him. Talmud Leimer. That's why the Torah says, an extra expression. Hanik, tanik. The Torah says, severance, you should give severance. Why does the Torah say double expression? That means even if he doesn't deserve it, you have to give it to him anyway. Even if he didn't bring a bracha into your house, you have to give him anyway. So in Cain, so then why does the Torah say what she blessed? Because even if the house wasn't blessed, you have to give him severance pay. It teaches us like this. Hakel lefi abracha teinli. You have to give him minimum. The Torah is saying, but if the house was really blessed, give him a bigger bonus.
So maybe the minimum is 3 and maximum is 15?
No. The Torah says the minimum, whether it's 15, 30, or 50. That's minimum. Then the Torah adds, Ashabeiracha, Shemalakecha, listen. That, this is the minimum. Minimum wage. So to speak. Minimum severance. If Hashem gave you a bracha, give him more. Give him a bonus. Rabbi Lazar ben Azayah says no. That's the first opinion of the Braisa. Meaning, whether you were blessed or not, you have to give a minimum severance pay. You know, whether it's 15, 30, or 50. If the Halkai gave you a bracha, give him more. Rabbi Lazar ben Azayah said no. No bracha, no severance. Dvarim kiksavim. The pasuk are to be taken the way it's written. Nizbarech bayis begloli, if the house was blessed because of the eved, give him. Manikim le, then give him severance. Loi nizbarech bayis begloli, ein manikim. Don't give him severance.
How do you know it's because of him? That the house is blessed. Huh. Maybe, as soon as it comes in, it's good. And
yeah. Listen, people know sometimes the business. You bring somebody into the business to work, all of a sudden the business picks up. I mean, you can feel that it's, the guy's honest with himself. Then it would be that. But the Gemara says, aye, but the Torah says, hanik tanik. The Torah says, double expression, which the Chayda teaches us, under all circumstances you have to give him. The Gemara says, no, you don't learn anything out from it. Debra Torah Kolashim Meni Adam. Torah speaks in human terms, and people repeat themselves. In other words, like this. The Chachamim hold, you have to always give him severance pay. Maybe if there's no bracha, you don't give him. But the Torah says, hanik tanik, it's an extra word. Teaches us, the Chachamim hold, that even if there's no bracha in the house because of him, you have to give him anyway. Rabbi Lazar ben Azayah says, no. Bracha in the house, he gets. No bracha in the house, he does. The Torah says, hanik tanik, it's an extra word, which L'Chaedah should teach us, that regardless, you have to give him seven. He says, no. The Torah speaks in human terms. Hanik tanik, there's nothing to learn from it. You have many places in Chumash, Paseach Tiftach, Hecher Techiach. Many times the Torah doubles itself. So sometimes the Gemara learns out from something from it. And certain opinions say, no, this is the way the Torah speaks. It's not called an extra word. Give, you should give. You know.
Like 16
mana, 16 mana,
twice.
Yep. Yeah, many times the Torah repeats itself. And the Gemara says, that's the way Torah speaks. Like Lashon Mani Adam. Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara introduces also by Eved a new braisa. The master dies, what happens to the Eved? And the Gemara is going to discuss Yiddish slave, Gaiish slave, male slave, female slave, you know, all the dinim. Tod Rabban Rabbanan Lit. Eved Ivri, Eved the Saben. A Yiddish slave, if the master dies and he didn't finish the 6 years yet, finishes the 6 years for the son. But Eina Eved is a bas. He doesn't serve the daughter. What does that mean? If the master died and has no sons, only daughters. So if the master has a son, he finishes his 6 year contract with the son. Daughter, no.
Can the son release him?
Huh?
Can the son release him from his obligations?
No, he has to work for 6 years. Mm. Now, Ame Ivriya, if it's a Jewish maid servant, that's a male servant, Eved Ivri. What happens, Ame Ivriya, Eina Ivedes, Loya Sabain, Voleya Sabas. She doesn't go for the son or for the daughter. Meaning, if there was a Yiddish maid servant, a woman, and the master died, doesn't matter if he has kids, she goes out free. An Eved Ivri, if there's a son, he finishes working for him. If a daughter, no. Then it says like this. a guy that, you know, got his ears pierced and stayed till Yovel, or a guy that was sold to a guy, somebody sold an Eved Ivri to a guy, Eina Eved, Leia Seben, Vleia Sebas. He doesn't work for anybody either. And the Gemara is going to learn out from Sukkim how we learn all this out. But the interesting thing is, the only one that works for the son is an Eved Ivri. Am Ivri and not. The Nirtza, the guy who is pierced into Yevil, does not work for his son or daughter. And the guy is sold to a guy. If the guy dies, his kids don't get the Eved Ivri. Okay? Only an Eved Ivri can only work if his master died and there's a son. Okay? So Gemara says, Amar, we just got through saying in the Braisa, Eved Ivri, Eved is a ben, works for the son, if the master died. Veina Eved is a bas, but he doesn't work for the daughter. So Gemara said, Minahani Mili, where do you know this from? The Chayit, if the daughter, we know a din, if there's no son, who inherits the daughter? So why shouldn't he work for the daughter? I mean, she's the place of the father. So it says, it's on the Rabbanon like this. It says in the Tatum, Vavotcha Sheishanim. The Eved Ivi should work for you, Avotcha, should work for you 6 years. Lucha Velo Liyurish. Only for you and not for any heir. But by the way, right away, we're going to see in the Gemara in a second, this does not mean a son. It means a brother, other relatives that inherit. Right, if a guy dies without kids, the brother inherits. So the Torah says, no, he only works for the guy, no other heirs. You're telling me, the Torah says, you are not an heir. Maybe it excludes even a son you don't work for. Maybe you don't even work for the son. It says in the Torah, 6 years you should work. And it doesn't say work for you. It already says 6 years you should work, which means leben omer. So then, for the son, you also have to work. So what does it mean? Avot cha, you have to work for you. He has to work for you 6 years. It means to you and not an heir. Meaning like this: there's two psukim. One pasuk says he should work for you 6 years, which means you and nobody else. And another pasuk says he should work 6 years. Okay. Now, logically, who should he work for, if anybody? The son. Who's the real heir? The son. If there's no son, it goes to the daughter. But if there's a daughter, who's the heir? Initially, the son. Now, if there's a passage that says 6 years the Eved works, meaning regardless, so the son gets the Eved. But another passage says only for you and no heirs, that excludes everybody else. Daughter, brothers, anybody else. So bottom line, the Gemara Braisa says, from this Braisa we learn out, that if an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave's master, dies, he works for the son to finish the 6 years, but nobody else. If there's no son, even if there's a daughter and brothers and uncles and aunts and whatever, he goes out free. He goes out free. Beth lets him go.
Are you compensated?
Who? The master? No.
What?
Nope. It's what's called tough luck.
If the master dies, the Eved doesn't get any compensation from the state?
What should Eved get?
Eved doesn't get severance
pay?
When
he leaves, severance pay.
Oh, when he leaves, he gets severance pay.
No,
we're talking
about. If the master dies.
If the master dies. He's let go free. So, severance pay
with
that?
Did we learn that?
No. I think he does get severance pay.
The son has to give it, or the.
The state gives it to him. Yeah. Listen, the debts of the father, the estate pays. Right? It's not like bankruptcy. Father dies, the kids don't have to pay. The father dies, the estate has the obligation. If there's no estate, the kids don't have to pay. Even though there's a Gemara that says, the Chachamim say, it's nice to clear your father's name and pay the debts even though you don't have to. You know, just to clear your father's good name, so to speak. But technically, if a guy has a debt, okay, like we learned already in the Gemara, this is called a shibud. The lien is not only on the person; it's on the person. Therefore, anything he owns, right? So, if a guy dies owing money, the estate there's a lien on the estate for the loan because it was on the father. Now, let's say there was a $10,000 lien on the estate, but the estate's only worth $1,000. Okay, so they get the $1,000, but the kids don't have to pay the debt of the father for $9,000. They didn't take the debt. Why should they take it? Okay, the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra if you know it's proper for the kids to pay it up or not, whatever. But there's no lien on the kid's property. You can't go to the kids and just force them to give you the money. Because not there, they do the loan. Or damage or whatever they did. Okay, so therefore from these two psukim, said like this, Sheishanim Yavod, doesn't say to whom, we include the son, that he gets the evit. Another pasuk says, Avot Cha, only for you, not for the heirs, we exclude the brother of the father, right? So the Gemara says, why do you include the son and not the brother? Why should you say the son gets the evit and not the brother? So Gemara says like this.
Because there's no son.
Gemara is discussing this. The Gemara says, Maro Yisrael Rabbi says, Aben, Olohei Tzisach, why should he include the son and exclude the brother? Like, why should the son come before the brother? So he said, what do you mean? Marban is a ben. You know why I include the son? Shekom tachas aviv liyado. If the father wants to marry, I mean, there's a din. If a guy buys an ame ivriya, a Yiddish maidservant, he can marry her, right? And if not, the Torah says im levna yodena. He can give it to the son. He can't give it to his brother to marry the girl, right? Who can marry the girl if the father doesn't want? The son. And l'zdei achuza. There's a din, if somebody sells their inherited land, okay, they have a right to redeem it until Yovel. If they don't redeem it by Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim.
Then Yerushalayim or all over?
All over, to show. Time to be some English. Okay? That means who could redeem the field? Either the son or the person himself. Not a daughter, not the brother. So you see who's better. The son is more in the place of the father, both by to marry the Amma or to redeem a field. So the Gemara says, Adrabah, I'll prove you the brother's better than the son. Why? Who does Yibum? The brother. Who takes the place of the father if he dies without kids? Who takes the place of the father if he dies without kids?
Yeah, but that's the answer right there, that the kid is more important, because if he dies without kids...
Oh, that's what the Gemara says, 1 minute. You can't tell me a brother is better than the son. The only reason the brother does Yibum is because there is no son. If there's a son, there's no Yibum.
Sometimes the father gets it.
Which father? Brothers come first.
I have a question for you.
First the brothers.
Yeah, but if
there's no brothers,
has a father.
No, if the brothers get first.
I have a question.
One second. A guy dies, right? If there's a son, he gets. No son, daughters. No son or daughters.
I'm saying, what if this guy has a father?
I'm saying, what's the next in order?
Brother.
No brothers, the father gets.
In the case of
friend.
No, please. In the case of
I just can't get it. I need a walk. No chumash. It says in the parsha of Nachla, at the end of in Pinchas. I'm sorry, it's my back because I can't walk.
But in case of Yibo, the father could get it too, like Yehuda and Tamar.
1 second. That was before Matan Torah. No son, you give it to the daughter. Okay? No daughter, meaning no son or daughter. When the satem es nachlosi le'echov, give it to the deceased brother. The deceased's brother. If there's no brothers, then you give the inheritance to the father's brothers. But that's obviously if there's no father. If there's no uncles. Okay, so the order is son, then daughter, then his brothers, then his father, then his uncles.
Interesting that the brother comes first.
It makes more sense. Because they inherit their father anyway. They're going to inherit the father anyway.
The question was if the father is alive.
The brothers still get it. The brothers still get it.
So in most cases, the father may be a guardian of the brothers. Anyway, brothers may be under 18, under
13. No, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. No, I made a mistake. It says like this. The Torah doesn't say the father.
No. That's not
it. Okay, but it says no. Nowhere in the passage does the Torah state that the father gets it, but the Chacham learned from the father's right to inheritance is second only to that of a husband and children. Thus, in our verse, the deceased brother inherits only if there's no father. I made a mistake. The order then is, but that's not in the Chumash. The order is then son, daughter, father, brothers, uncles.
What about mother?
No, mother-in-law.
That's last.
No, but the mother's... You know, it's interesting. The only woman, technically in the order, that inherits is a daughter. Because... Do you know, according to Halacha, if a wife dies, the husband inherits. If a husband dies, the wife doesn't inherit. Never. He goes to the kids, then the father, the brothers, the male people inherit.
That's right.
They have to support the mother?
They have to support the mother. It's a different din. The children have to support the mother from the estate. As long as the mother is alive.
Is that what's saying it, sir?
Yeah, I mean, inheritance, yeah. Well, today, we still discuss, we did a whole different thing. They make
lawyers.
Okay, so he says, okay, at the time of the Ikapir, that's only because you have a question. But otherwise you tell me a brother is better. So that also doesn't make sense. The Gemara asks the question, why is the son better than the brother? Okay, so Gemara says, because... The son has two things. He can marry the girl, and he can redeem the field. So Gemara says, no, a brother is better because of Yibum. But that's only one. Right? The son is in place of the father for two things. He can marry the maidservant, and he can redeem a field. The brother is only in place for one din of Yibum.
Yeah, but Yibum is not even valid because the son...
So Gemara says like this. The type of girl, why don't you answer a different answer? The Hocha Tarti Vacha Chod. Here's two, here's one. Right? I mean, Sigmar says no. You know why it's from Yibum? Because Stei Achuz and Nami Mayer Pircha Konaf Klo Tana. This Tana holds, you know why the son can redeem the field and nobody else? From the din of Yibum. You know, the fact that the kid could redeem a field is only because we learn out from Yibum. That there's only Yibum when there's no son. That means the son is better than the brother. If that's the case, then he should redeem the field. So therefore, it's not... You can't actually do it that way. Okay, so the bottom line of the Gemara so far is, we learn out from a pasuk that if a master of an Eved Ivri dies, right, the son can... The servant works for the son, not for the daughter, not for anybody else. Then the Gemara says like this, Ami Ivriya, what happens to a Yiddish maid servant if the master died? She doesn't work for nobody. She goes out free. So Gemara says, Minani Mili, from where do we learn it out from? From where do we learn out that if a maid servant's master died, she doesn't go work for anybody? So Gemara says, because Amr Apida said, Amr Krav Pasik says like this, Afla Moschot Tasikain. so you should do to the maidservant. Meaning, Hakesh HaKosu L'Nitza, the Torah likens a maidservant to a guy that had the ears pierced to remain a slave until Yevu. Man Nitza, Eina Eved Leyes HaBen Leyes HaBas, just like the guy who works for Yevul does not work for the son of the or the daughter. Meaning, if the master dies after the 6 years and he's staying until Yovel, and 10 years later the master dies, he goes out free. Af Ami Yevidet, the same thing, a Yiddish maid servant. Eina Evedes Leyes HaBen Leyes HaBas doesn't serve not the man, not the boy, not the daughter, not the son, not the daughter. So we liken Ami Yevidet to Nirtza, just like Nirtza goes out free, if the master dies, the same thing, Ami Yevidah goes out free. So the Gemara says, but Avla Moscha teaches us something else. You're saying the Pasuk is to liken her to a Nirtza, to the pierced Eved and to Yevul. Here the Torah is teaching us something else. Hami Boy Leilach Edetanya, Avla Moscha Tasekeh means you have to give her Hanukkah. But the Torah says to do it to your maidservant is by the Pasuk of Hanukkah. That you have to give her severance pay too. So that's what the Torah is teaching us with this. Not that she doesn't, that she goes out free if the master dies. The Pasuk is teaching us a different din. That what? Afla maskha ta'atza ken lahanik, you have to give her hanukkah. Why? So he says like this. Ata emir lahanukkah, you say you have to give her severance pay. Maybe that she gets pierced. Maybe that's what it means. He says no. It says by the din of piercing, if the male Eved says, I want to stay longer, then you pierce his ears. Which means a female doesn't. So what's Afla Moscha Tasekein teaching me? That she gets Hanukkah. It says already, La Ritzia. Hamani Mekayim. So what is, I use the Pasuk Afla Moscha Tasekein, La Hanukkah. Sigmar's question is like this. You're telling me the Pasuk Afla Hamoscha Tasekein, that you do it to your maidservant, includes that she doesn't work for the master, just like the pierced Eved doesn't. I said, but that pasuk is teaching me a completely different thing, that you have to give her severance pay. So how do I know that in Ami Yevidia, if the master died, that she doesn't work for the son? In Cain, the Torah said, La Moscha Cain. What is Ta'aseh, ta'aseh is an extra word. It teaches us shmamin or tarti, it teaches us two dinim. Number one, Ami Yevidia gets severance pay. Secondly, she does not work for the son or the daughter. The master dies, she goes out free. Bottom line, Eved gets severance pay, Amma gets severance pay. Okay? That means an Amma can go out after 6 years or reaching puberty. Whichever comes first. Right? She goes out, free. What happens? The master dies, she's free. But she gets severance pay. The estate gives her severance pay. Whether she goes after 6 years, whether she goes out puberty, or she goes out because the master dies, she gets severance pay, just like an Eved. And by the way, the same amount of money. The Kramer 15, Kondrab Yudah 30, and the Kondrab Shimon 50. Get the same Hanukkah. It's good retirement package. Girl at the age of 12.
Yes.
Getting severance pay. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Anirtzav Animka Lev Dikachavim. The Braisha said before, a guy that got pierced, that stays until Yovel. Or it's Eved that was sold to a guy, and the master dies. Eina Eved Leyes HaBem Leyes HaBas. Neither of them. Okay, thank you. Neither of them works for the son or daughter. So it says Nirtza. How do we know Nirtza doesn't work for the son? Because it says like this. Means he has to work for him forever. The Torah doesn't say va'avad le'olam. The Torah says, Va'avodoi, for him he works forever. Meaning, not the son, not the daughter. Okay? Because the Torah could have said, Va'avad le'olam. Let him work until Yevul. Why does the Torah say, Va'avodoi? He works for him, for Yevil, meaning only him. The son, if he dies, you're off. How do I know if you're sold to a guy that also the guy, his master dies, you also go out free? Amr Chizki said, because says in the Torah like this, you have to figure it out with the purchaser. Kenehu means only the guy who purchased you. Okay, which excludes v'leim yorshe kenehu, and not with the yorshim, the heirs of the one that purchased you. And I'm speaking by a guy, she guy who buys you. So therefore the din is, you don't work for the kids. Okay, so the only one that works for the son is an Eved Ivri. And by the way, the Gemara is not even talking about Eved Kanani. A goyish slave becomes the property of the master. He dies. The Torah says clearly, "Viznachaltem esam lebneichem achareichem." You're given; they're given over as inheritance.
They stay.
Huh? They stay for, and their kids stay, and their kids stay, and yeah. Until slavery finished.
There is no
Yovel.
Today's no Yovel anyway.
Oh, last time.
Yovel stopped in the middle of the second base of Migdash already. Mm-hmm. Because that's to be called Yeshvel Leho. All the Jews had to live in Eretz Yisrael. In the middle and closer to the end of the second base of Migdash, Jews already left Eretz Yisrael. They went to Mitzrayim, they went to Bavel already. So the Yovel, the din of Yovel stopped. Till Mashiach comes. Started all over again.
What would be the case that he should be sold to the boy?
A Jew sold Eved to a guy?
What condition? Did he steal from him? Did he...
No, not... A guy owned an Eved Ivri, and he sold him to a guy.
Or the Eved sold himself to the Goy, could that be?
Huh?
From poverty, the Eved would sell himself to a rich Goy?
Either who sold him to the Goy? Either himself or somebody else sold him. Even though there's a din, if you sell an Eved Ivri to a Goy, you have to buy him back up to 10 times the price. But if that wasn't done yet, if it wasn't done yet, he still doesn't go out free. I mean, he does go out free. He doesn't work for the kids.
What if he stole from the goy and now wanted to play back? The court, Jewish court, would force him to become a slave?
Not necessarily to the guy. They would maybe sell him to a Jew and take the money and pay the guy.
Didn't have a case before that I don't know something that would make Eved to kill the. The master, or something like that? Something close to this idea?
That I remember. Nope.
In order, if he dies, he's gonna go free.
You may kill him?
Or have somebody else kill him, or do something?
No. I'm not that I remember.
I think you had a case of that. And not exactly like this. If he steals something.
If he steals something, he might want to kill him. Not a bad idea.
No, if somebody ever steals something, then the master is higher for his stealing.
I don't remember that.
What's the question?
The Eved steals something from somebody
here.
Else. Who's higher?
The
Eved. The Eved doesn't have anything.
Yeah, he has money.
How?
If he ever, whenever he gets money, he has to pay it. It's a good debt.
So maybe that was the case with Eved.
No, it's only Eved Ivri Kanani, but the master is not responsible for him. I don't know. Taisus over here, by the way, asks a very simple question, by the way, in the Gemara that we just learned before. The Gemara says, why am I including a son and not the brother? Maybe the brother is better because he does Yibum. So they said, I understand. Who's closer to the father? Who inherits? The son or the brother? The son inherits. So of course the son is closer. Right? So Taisa says, but we're talking about things that which are not by a brother at all. Like, the Amivriya, redeeming the property, that exists not by a brother at all. It says, there's no yield by a brother, there's no redeeming by a brother. Okay. Next, that's a very interesting piece of Gemara. Does a guy inherit his father? Does a ger inherit his father? Does a guy inherit a father who's Jewish? Huh? That's what I'm saying now. Amir Avah. It's a very interesting Gemara. Dvar Teira biblically, Evid Kechavim Yerish Es Aviv. A guy inherits his father. According to Halacha, biblically, if a guy dies, the son gets another. It's not free for all. According to Torah law, the guy, the son, inherits the father. Shenamar, because it says, V'chish Avim Keneihu, you have to reckon with the Goyish master, V'loi Im Yorshi Keneihu, and not with his ears. Right? But if the Torah says, like we just said, the girl doesn't work for the guy who was sold to a guy, right? He says, in the Braisi, you need to work, to negotiate with the master, and not with the heirs. That means there are heirs. Nice. Except the Torah says, you don't negotiate with them, you only negotiate with the master himself. But if the Torah has to tell us that to exclude heirs, that means a guy has heirs. Okay? And like we said, there are different dinim, and the Gemara is going to discuss this. Marriage for a guy, there's a din of marriage with another guy. Okay? Otherwise, the whole din of adultery couldn't apply to a guy. Right? Yeah. To live with a married woman, which is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, if there's no marriage by a guy, so, how do you have a shesish? Okay? So obviously, there's a din of marriage between guy and guy. Between guy and Jew, there's no marriage. That means, if a Jew is married to a guy, or a Yiddish girl is married to a guy, okay, she doesn't need a get from him. Because there was no marriage, as far as Jews are concerned, between Jew and guy. Right, therefore, a Yiddish woman that was married to a guy, right? I'm not talking about civil law now, that you need a divorce. But in Torah law, as long as the guy's not a Kohen, she can marry him. You don't need a get. But Goyim between Goyim, there's a din of... So of
a Kohen cannot marry a woman who's married to a guy?
Right. Not only that, if she had relations once with a guy, she can't marry him.
You're not going to ask that question, are you?
That's another issue, if you have to ask today or not. It's another big argument amongst contemporary rabbis. Okay, so now, that's one din Rava said. So Rava said a din, a guy inherits his father. Okay, that's his property. Ger esev de gechovim, a ger, how about to inherit the possessions of his father who is not Jewish? Right? The ger becomes a ger. Right? He becomes a Jew. So, can he inherit from his father the goy? So it says, Einim medivri tzei is not biblical. Elim medivri tzei from only rabbinic.
That he can.
Biblically, he does not inherit. Because biblically, it's not his father. Right? Even if his father's Jewish, if a Jew married a Shiksa, it happens. A Jew marries a Shiksa,
then he can,
and they have a kid. They have a kid. The kid's a guy.
Okay.
Right? Now the kid converts.
Yeah.
That guy's not his father.
Yeah, that's right.
Halachically, it's not his father. It's the newborn. Gershon is Gar Kokoton Shonel. It's like a newborn baby. Okay? So now, if this father died, even though normally a guy does inherit his father, But a ger doesn't, because it's not his father. The Chachamim said he does. Why? Very simple reason. If not, he'll want to become a goy again.
Nobody would want to convert to Judaism because they
not the son of a wealthy man. Not the son of a rich guy.
That's what I'm saying. The son of a goy converts to Judaism. If the father dies.
Well, one second. Tesis is not so simple. But
the Oraita is he can or
cannot.
The Torah doesn't mention anything about that halakha.
No, it's not his father.
Okay, but if it's. So how did the Hachamim just reverse the halakha?
Huh?
How did the Hachamim reverse it?
Mandatory things they could do.
So if a guy from
it's mandatory.
Uh-huh. And his father is a wealthy man. He's not his father. He can't
inherit. Rabbinically, he does. He said, not biblically. Rabbinically, he does, not biblically. Mm. And the Gemara says, where do we see this? From a din, so like this. Gave de kachavim shiyoshu saviyah mev de kachavim. A ger and his brother, who's a guy, he's Jewish. The brother's a guy that inherit the father. Now, the father in his possessions has idols. Right? The father has in his possessions idols. Correct? Now, a Jew cannot benefit from idols. But the Mishnah is saying, he could tell his goyish brother, listen kid, you take the idols, give me the cash. No, I mean, you could work it out. Because then, what's the point over here? He didn't acquire the idols yet. Gemara says, once he acquires them, he can't sell to the guy, okay, forget it. Let's, because then you're benefiting from the idols.
Maybe he doesn't have a brother?
One second. Let's get this point. Before, the Mishnah says like this. Before he gets it, he could tell his brother, the guy, you take the tray for things, I take the kosher things. Once they get it, he cannot tell the brother anymore, okay, you know what, let's switch. Why? Because then he's benefiting from Aveda Zara. Now, if a ged inherits his father immediately, he can never tell the brother. It's already his. If he inherits, it's already his. How can he say to the brother now, okay, you take the idols and I'll take the money? He can't because it's his already. Is a proof that min hatayda, the ger does not inherit his father. Let's see it inside. Gaver if the kachavim sheyoshes aviyah made the kachavim a ger and his brother goy, who inherits the father was an idol worshipper. Ger yocholem if the kachavim, the yid can tell his goyish brother, you know, tell at avedus kachavim, you take the idols and I'll take the money. Or tolata nayayin nesach, you take David Zar wine, and I'll take fruits. But mishabo l'shus ger, once the ger gets it, then osur. Then he can't.
But isn't it once the father dies, everyone inherits the whole?
Oh, that's if there's a din of inheritance. That's the Gemara's proof. Look, if you're saying a ger biblically would inherit his father, then immediately he gets it. The second the father dies, they get it. So how can he tell his brother, you take the idols and I take this? Even if it doesn't come to his possession yet, he's taking anyway the Avodah Zarah, because it's his already. Therefore we must say, only rabbinically he inherits. Why did the Chachamim say the ger inherits if the Torah says no? Gzeiru da Ovid Rabbanon. The Chachamim were afraid shemiyachzu l'suri, maybe he'll go back to what he was before to be a guy. Okay?
What's
your
incentive to become a Jew?
No, so Tesis over here at Tesis Hushanim asks a question. But once he converts, even if he becomes an idol worshiper, he's still a Jew.
Yeah.
What do you think? He's going to become a goy again? He can't become a goy. He's stuck. Once you do gir kalacha, you're a Jew. There's nothing you can do about it.
So the courts, they enforce this stuff.
Let's say someone converts to Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, and then they get the Shidwas, she can't come back, she can't go back to being Catholic?
No. If she converts halachically, she's a Jew.
But she doesn't want nothing to do with Judaism anymore.
Huh? That's her problem. What happens if a Jew says, I don't want to have anything to do with Jews? I don't blame him. What Jew wants to have anything to do with Jews? Who wants to have anything to do with a Jew? No, the Gemara says like this. Tanya Nami Hochi. So we learned in the Braisa like this. When can the ger take the money? Only Kshayarshu. When he inherited the father estate. Because it's rabbinic. Chum say, okay, you take this, I take this. But nishtatfu, but if they had a partnership in business together, let's see, before the ger became a ger, let's see, there's a guy,
yeah.
He had a partnership with his brother in Trefa, Yayin Nesach, or idols, or whatever. And now he becomes a ger, so he says, okay, brother, you take the treif, give me the kosher. The Gemara says, he can't do that. Because now, he's benefiting from the idols. Because he's getting other money. What he has to do? He has to let the brother keep all the idol stuff, and the other money is 50-50. That's the halacha. Because he can't benefit from the idols.
So why does he just say to keep all the idols and he gets the money?
Because then he's benefiting from the idols.
How does he benefit from the idols? He can't let the brother keep the
idols. There's $1,000 idols, $1,000 cash. Okay? Now, if he says to the brother, okay, we're splitting the business. You take $1,000 of idols, I'm taking $1,000 cash. He's benefiting.
Can they split it equally and then he throws away his own idols? The Jew? I mean, the convert?
Yeah, but so what's he gaining by it?
This way he has less idols, his brother.
No. Doesn't have to do that.
I don't understand that, but they're allowed to split 50-50. He's still benefiting.
No. You're not allowed to split 50-50. No. The $1,000 idols the brother keeps, and the other money they have to split 50-50. So the guy ends up getting $1,500, $1,000 of idols, and 500 cash, and he only gets 500 cash. Now if the brother says later, I want to give you $500 present, he can give him a present. But in the laws of partnership, if he takes 1,000 cash and he takes 1,000 idols, he's benefiting from the Aved of Zonah.
What about if no brother?
Huh?
If there is no brother, it's all by himself.
Then the idols he has to get rid of.
But didn't we say before that the brother should take...
He can't sell them. He cannot sell them. If he's an only child, let's say...
Destroy them.
Throw them out.
I still don't understand that. How does he keep
you can't even give him as a gift to anybody because then you're benefiting.
I don't still know. The father passes away and there's $2,000, 1,000 of idols and 1,000 of cash. He can't get 1,000 cash and he can't give 1,000.
No, because... in Yerusha, but not in partnership in business, the Gemara said.
So who died here in this case?
Nobody died. Two brothers had a business.
Oh, I see.
The McRallys, the McDonald's,
wait.
Two McDonald's brothers.
Why do you say then they can split the 1,000 50-50? Why is he able to even keep 50 of it?
Cash, I'm saying.
I'm saying, even the cash.
Cash is kosher. What's wrong with cash?
You said that, in other words, I see, 50-50, I understand. Okay. So if the cash...
The cash, he gets 50%.
So you can't just say...
If they dissolve the partnership, okay, he can get 1,000 and give his goyish brother... 1,000 because then he's benefiting from the idols. So they have to split the business. He takes out whichever way you bid him, but he's going to end up with $500 cash.
I got a good question.
Yeah.
What if the business is an idols store? They sell idols only, and the cash is also not good.
Then you can't do it. Then he has to give
the
that up to him. He has to give it up.
So the whole thing.
Yeah. Moral of the story is. Don't have an idol business, and if you do, don't convert.